You know, I kind of grew up actually in a Baptist church. We went to church when I was a kid. But this Baptist church was called American Baptist. That's a particular type of Baptist. Very conservative, not charismatic in any way. But they got a pastor who was Holy Spirit filled, on fire for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, I was a little guy then, but we had full-blown Pentecost in a Baptist church in Jewett City, Connecticut. And I was watching even children my age. I was probably, 8, 10 years old, prophesying. And, you know, people were laying hands on the sick, and it was miracles and deliverance and all these awesome things that happen when God shows up in power and people are open to be a host for the Holy Spirit. We are the host of God. Amen. We host him. And the Lord is looking for someone who would be a vessel that's willing to open and allow him to live in and through their lives. But he doesn't kick the door down, so we can sit and we can watch other people, amen, get blessed. Or we can say, you know what, I want what they got. Amen. We're not here to put on a show. Amen. We're here before an audience of one, as we say. And we want to honor the Lord. And we give him the fruit of our lips. We offer him a living sacrifice, which is ourselves, our bodies. Amen. And we give unto the Lord praise because it's due him. He deserves it. And you know, again, thanksgiving keeps the door of favor open in your life. Having a grateful heart, not a complaining heart, not a, I wish I had this and I wish I didn't have that, but a grateful heart keeps the door of favor open in your life. Just like any father, amen, who would bless a son, when that son shows appreciation for the gift, amen, it blesses the heart of the giver, amen. So we need to be thankful always. In all things, we're supposed to be giving God thanks. And so we come with an offering of praise, amen. And it doesn't have to be the genre of music that I can sing to, amen. If it's not a certain style or whatever, then I just can't worship. I know I can worship in Walmart. Come on, somebody. Why? Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right? And so we need to be open, all right, before the Lord, because the Lord wants to do something in our hearts and our lives. How many know that only God can really change the heart of man? You know, we can change habits, we can change, you know, things we do externally, but we really cannot change that internal part of us. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, that's my responsibility as a doorkeeper. Amen. I have that charge of my heart. Amen. I can shut things out, shut people out, or I can open my heart. And how many know you don't open your heart to people that you don't trust? Amen. But you will open your heart to someone that you know you can trust. You can share your secrets with them even, right? So it is with the Lord. He is someone that we can always trust. Amen. And the more that we get to know him, the more trustworthy we find him. And so God wants us to fully trust him and fully open the door and allow him access. Amen. So he can clean the house. He can kick the devil out. Amen. He can set things in order. He wants to fully possess our vessels, every room. All right. We're just like a big house. You know, there's all kinds of rooms inside of us. And sometimes we have those secret rooms that we think nobody knows about, but God sees it. Amen. You got to give him access to all that. In the closet, that attic, how about the basement? Amen. God wants to fill every part of our being. All right. But we have to yield every part of us to him. All right. That means we have to be vulnerable. Trust. He sees it, but he won't barge the door down. He wants you to trust him enough to open the door and to receive him. All right. As Lord, as Savior. Hallelujah. When you really open your heart to the Lord, you will find that the Lord is good. You'll find that the Lord is peace. He is joy. He's everything that we need. He's the one and the only one that can really satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. I've tried everything in the world just about, and it never satisfied me until I came to that point in my life where I realized the world didn't have the answer. And I cried out to Jesus one day in my bedroom, and Jesus met me and saved me. He came into my life, and I became a new creation. And everything looked different. Everything felt different. I had a new normal. What used to be abnormal was now normal. And what used to be normal was then now abnormal. I was like, how many have ever said, what was I thinking? We've all done it, haven't we? Well, we need the mind of Christ. We need the Lord to be a counselor. Amen. The anointing, the anointed one to come to dwell within us and to be the teacher. And so today I pray that the teacher, the Holy Spirit, will speak to us, amen, as he is already. How many receive this word? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to open the door, make yourself vulnerable. Come on. And we've got to get over self. We've got to get over self-consciousness in the sense that, what will people think? How about what will God think? What does God care about? How does God see it? Not just how do people see me, how does God see me? How many know that there's coming a day, amen, when we'll all take our last breath? Yeah? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So today God gives us an opportunity to be reconciled, to be made right with him again through the blood of Jesus, and to be brought into right fellowship with him. And I have found that life is good in the God zone. Amen. When you're in Christ, Christ is in you. Amen. And you are yielding and open to him to allow him to be Lord of your life. Life is so much better. And now I look back and I say, what was I thinking then? Like the old song by the Birds, real anointed band, by the way. I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. How many say I'm younger than that now? I'm like a child now. I'm like, Lord, teach me, show me. I thought I was so wise. Like the Keith Green song, Till Your Love Broke Through. I thought I was so wise until your love broke through. Yeah. And that's what we need, is we need the love of God in us and shed abroad in our hearts. And then it makes sense. Come on. It won't make sense to the natural reasoning. How do you explain something as wonderful as the Lord in his presence, you know? We try to present Christ, try to explain to people what he's really like, how good he really is. It's a peace that what? Passes all understanding. It's beyond human reasoning or understanding or ability to understand. So all you can do is trust him enough to open the door and taste and see that the Lord is good, and allow him access into your life, and he will change, transform us into a new, not a patch job, but a new creation. Everything we are called to be and do requires him, the Lord. Without him, we can do nothing. So God supplies us with his Spirit, who empowers us to be able to live the life we're called to live, because the Christian life is impossible apart from Christ. Amen? You can't just act like a Christian. That'd be a hypocrite. And hypocrites can only act for so long, and eventually their true colors come out. Amen? All of us are dealing with an old nature that even when we're born again, we have to deal with that old man, amen? Put him to death every day. Don't allow that old sin nature to rule us. And we do that by being filled with the Holy Spirit And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to rule over our bodies, come on, and to control what we do in the outer man that is connecting with the outer world, the world we live in. Amen? God gives you and I the ability to live holy as we abide in Him who is holy. He makes us holy. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. Title of today's message is really a part two from last week. It's the need for God's power. Come on, how many know the devil is not threatened by a powerless church? Amen. He's threatened by people who know their God. Amen. Those who are in Christ, who know who they are in Christ, are a threat to hell. The other day I was watching a video on YouTube. You ever do that? And one of those movie trailers quickly flashed on about a classroom, and I don't know what the name of the film is, of high school students boasting about their superpowers. And there was a young man in the front of the classroom who supposedly had no superpowers. So a young lady in the classroom cast a spell on him. This is all in this little short trailer. And his shoestrings miraculously tied together. And he fell down in embarrassment. In the next scene, he is vowing to possess superpowers like everyone else. Do you see how slick the enemy is? He has got our young people, so many, interested in what he's doing. Would you agree with me that there is a need for the authentic power of God in the church of God today? There needs to be an example, a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It is more than words. But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, which produces results, right? Produces even the manifestation of the Spirit and of power. So many are turning to science, are turning to witchcraft today, Satanism or psychics for answers rather than the Lord. And I believe one reason for that is, of course, there's been such a spiritual vacuum that they know that they need something or someone greater than themselves. Some people will call it a higher power. You know, you need a higher power in, I think in AA, what I've heard, I've never been to the meetings, but they say, well, you have to choose your higher power. So for somebody, the higher power could be Satan or, you know. And others say, well, Jesus is my higher power. You got to go more than just the higher power. You got to go to the highest power. You need to go to the most high God. El Elyon. Amen. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah, the God who has all power and all authority, who rules sovereignly over all the nations. He is God. And He has been given the name Jesus, the name above every name. And so many of our kids, they have no knowledge of a limited understanding of the Bible. They have no knowledge of God and His ways. And many are simply insecure. They're frightened by the things that they're seeing, that they're witnessing, adults as well. And understanding that they need some help other than themselves. And the message of the world is you just need more self-esteem has not been working for them. They need to know that there's a God who loves them, who created them, who has a plan and a purpose for their life. Amen. A God who sent His Son to die in their place, to pay the price for the sins that they've committed in their life, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, only through Jesus Christ can we be reconciled back to God. And these people, amen, these young people especially, many of them have never really heard the true gospel. They've heard bits and pieces, amen, of the gospel. and maybe a poor misrepresentation of the gospel through others who live a compromised life or are not living holy as the Lord called us to be holy. And the Bible says without holiness, no one will see the Lord. No man will see the Lord. Our children need to see and experience the power of God. Amen? It's got to be more than just the flannel graph. How many remember the flannel graph? Story time, amen? It's got to be more than that. We've got to get past the story to the heart of the story, and the heart of the story is a person. They need to have an encounter with God. They need to know God, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The people of our nation need to witness the power of God. There are pockets of revival. God is moving in our nation, and I hear there's something happening in the universities that a lot of the students now are in revival and many are coming to Jesus. Why? Because they come to the end of themselves and all the lies that they've been fed, they discovered, amen, are not working. And there's a sense of fear that's coming on people as they look at the things that are happening around the world and even in our own nation. And they're saying, I need some help here. And I've gone to the psychics, and I've gone to the mediums, and I've gone to these people, and they haven't really had the answers. They haven't been able to help me. And because there's been such a vacuum and such a lack of understanding of who the true God is, they've been just scrambling for something to help. And so in many cases, I'll just get high and try to forget about life. I'll get drunk so I don't have to face reality. But how many know eventually you got to come down from that and face reality, and there it is staring at you in the face again. How many know that we don't need drugs, amen, if we have Jesus? Amen? He is our joy. If you want to get high, go to the Most High. He will make you high. Hallelujah. He is the one that satisfies us. But it is the true gospel, you know, that transforms our hearts and minds. So you and I have been called to be an example of the Lord as we try to emulate Him and be like Him, amen? In the sense that as we draw near to God, He draws near to us, and His characteristics will be seen through us. Why? Because the world really needs Jesus, would you agree? And they don't really need us. God uses us so that we can be a vessel that God would work through, amen, to present Jesus to people so that they would come to Jesus, but not make us their guru. All right? Sometimes we make gods out of people, or people make gods out of even God's servants sometimes. But when people of God live out and demonstrate the gospel, rather than just reduce it to Bible study and theological concepts, then people's faith will rest in the truth of the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The substance of everything that we talk about, that we study about, amen, that we preach and teach, is Christ, that people may know Him, that they may have Him in their lives, that He would become Lord over them. God always confirms His word. If it is a word from the Lord, He will confirm it. There will be transformation. There will be renewing of minds, restoration of souls. There will be healings. There will be miracles. There will be deliverance. Because God is a God of power. And He has all authority. In Mark 16:19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord doing what? Working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Not only did Jesus die to save us, but He rose again to give us victory over every spiritual enemy. Somebody say, every spiritual enemy. Not just some, every spiritual enemy. God wants you to conquer, overcome in your life every spiritual enemy. And we do that by faith in the reality that Jesus Christ has already overcome our enemy. The enemy is broken. Jesus is Lord. He authorizes us to enforce the victory in our lives, and we should give no place to the devil. Amen. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, we should expose them. Amen. And God has already given you the victory. It is yours by faith to receive and to walk in. Satan cannot stand against the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Acts 8 and verse 6, crowds listened intently to Philip the evangelist, because they were eager to hear his message and see miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul again to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in dunamis, power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Assurance of faith. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Now, if anybody could blow somebody away with their theological concepts and understanding, and it was Paul. Amen? But when he had that encounter with Jesus, everything changed. And he was careful when he went out, all right, to preach one primary message, and that was what? Christ and Him crucified. He preached the gospel, the message of the cross. He said, I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. Because through the cross, amen, and only through death can we enter into new life. There has to be a death to the old man before we can begin to walk in the new man. We have to transition from death unto life. We have to turn away from our ways, which are the ways of death, and we have to come into Christ and allow Christ to come into us. Amen? So that we can now walk in the power of His resurrection. When Christ comes to dwell within you, well, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, what? Gives life to your mortal body. When you're born again, you become a new creation. Amen. But we need to understand that God has called us to represent Him and to do the works that Jesus did. Amen. And so that requires faith in God's promise that He makes available to His church the power of His Holy Spirit. Now hear this. When Jesus said, greater works than these you shall do, I want us to take a look at it this way. I hear that. What did He mean by that? Well, He's saying in context, I'm going away to the Father. Amen? And I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. All right? And you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you will be a witness for me. Amen? And you will begin to actually do what Jesus did by faith in His promise that He would confirm His word if you will speak what He tells you to speak. He will confirm His word. Not just the words we pull out of the air, but the words that He speaks are full of life. And so there would be many more of us anointed as in the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. Now there's many more, amen, that receive that power, that anointing, to go and be a representative for the Lord. Many more miracles, all right? Greater. You can't get any greater than raising somebody from the dead. Come on. He's saying, you'll do the works that I did. We should expect supernatural results as we preach Jesus as Savior and healer and deliverer. Now, we don't always see everything, do we? And sometimes God just tells you, I just want you to be faithful and I want you to speak this word and leave it up to me. I'm going to work on that person. All right? Sometimes I know we try to do the work of the Holy Spirit, but God just says, do this or speak this or lay hands on this person or pray for that person. Come on. And God, if it's God's word, he will confirm it. There will be some supernatural manifestation or change. See, I know sometimes we're looking for the spectacular or the sensational, but God is supernatural. Amen. It's not always going to be a sensational thing or a very visible thing. Sometimes it's very demonstrative and very open and very blatant, especially if somebody gets delivered from a demon. Amen. How many know that can be a pretty loud expression, all right? We should see the sick being healed. Thank God that he is healing folks even in this church. Amen. We're receiving that. Amen. How many would agree with me that God wants to do more than what we're seeing right now? Okay. So let's continue to press in and believe God. Amen. For that greater anointing, greater glory. Hallelujah. Because the world needs Jesus. Amen. And God has called us to partner with him in this mission. And we can't do it without his grace. We want to see captives being set free. I want to see people filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hearts on fire for Jesus. It's vital that people know to turn to the Lord for help. And this is the problem back to the beginning, is that people are looking for answers in the wrong places because they don't know what's available to them in Christ. And unfortunately, in some cases, they go to churches that have no openness to the Holy Spirit. So there's no real tangible power for change or deliverance. So all I tell them is just take more drugs or whatever, you know, maybe you'll feel better. I'm not against medication. I am saying that we must seek first the kingdom of God. Put him first in everything we do. We should be acknowledging him. Amen. There are many times that God has kept me, amen, praise God, from having to go to the hospital or the doctor simply because I went to Jesus first and say, Lord, I need you to touch me. There's been some times when I felt like something was really wrong with me. Okay, now some of you say that's true. But I've walked around even in here, and I was struggling physically with something, and I was crying out to God. And you know, God is just so often, he has just healed me, and I never had to go. I had to get desperate. I had to put on my ugly praise, if you will. Amen? But God has been so faithful, so often. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's no need for doctors. Sometimes that's the route that we go, and God authorizes that. I don't understand why, you know, but I do know that sometimes God just wants to heal people. Amen. So that people will know that he's God. He wants to let people know that, listen, I am he who was dead and is alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Amen. Jesus has overcome the world, the flesh and the devil. Amen. If people are presented with a powerless gospel, or they sit under teaching that is void of God's anointing, there's a greater risk they may in time turn to the occult for help. And this has been my experience, and I've witnessed this. I've had people come in. I had a girl one time, she came in here, got delivered from demons. The devil had convinced her that he had more power than God. And so she got into the occult. Do you understand why there is a need for you and I to be endued with power from on high for a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, come on. We should expect supernatural manifestations because this bears witness to the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. This is what the Lord thinks about the occult, by the way. In Deuteronomy 18:9, God's given instruction to Israel through Moses. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, that's a human sacrifice, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. I mean, you know, they've popularized, even Disney has popularized sorcery today. Or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead, as in a seance. The word sorcery is the practice of using demonic supernatural means in order to control forces in the spiritual realm with the intention of influencing the physical realm. And people want to use that and witchcraft to control others, to put them under their spell. And how many know that you cannot curse what God has blessed? Listen, we should not in any way be intimidated by our adversaries, because greater is the one that's in us than he that's in the world. My faith is in the power of God. My faith is in his faithfulness, not in my ability to be faithful. And therefore, I trust in my God for his divine protection. I'm not fearful of being cursed. Believe me, if that was possible, it would have happened by now. Amen? But God himself protects his servants, his people. If you will guard your integrity, guard your heart, amen, and not open a door through willful sin, amen, God will protect you. And even sometimes when we are doing stupid things, and I've done some stupid things, have you? God has still, in his mercy, he has protected me from myself and even from the enemy. But God will discipline those he loves. And if a person persists in rebellion, God will take you out behind the shed and give you an attitude adjustment. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what does God say about these things? Well, verse 12, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. It says all who do these things. In other words, the people that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. He was talking about you're just going and possess the land I've given you. Amen. But you cannot compromise with your enemy in order to have the victory, all right, in warfare. So it's because of these things that God wanted these ungodly nations driven out of the land. God said that the people who practice these things, again, are themselves an abomination to the Lord, and they needed to repent, and they needed to turn to him for mercy. And guys, this needs to be our message to those who are caught up in these things, is God wants to save them too. God wants to redeem them. Amen? God wants to set them free. The devil lies to them and tells them that they can't get out of it. They're in too deep. How many know the devil's a liar? Amen? How many know Jesus can save to the utmost those who call upon him? And he can break the power of Satan in their lives just like he has in ours. The word abomination means a thing that causes disgust or hatred. God is actually disgusted at these things. And how is it that some Christians even, you know, they dabble with these things? Where is the fear of the Lord and where is the discernment? How can we not see that God does not approve of the darkness? I'm not going to get off onto that trip, but things such as Halloween. Why should we celebrate Halloween? It has to do with all these things. It's just like a celebration of darkness. Oh, you're being legalistic. No. I'm being loving, and I'm telling people, I'm warning people about these things, because by dabbling with these things, you're giving the enemy an opportunity to take up residence in your life and in your family, or in even in your kids. Moving right along here. Dabbling with the occult is dangerous. Dabbling with the occult is costly. It cost King Saul his kingdom, remember? And his life in 1 Chronicles 10:13. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because first of all, he did not keep the word of the Lord. He disobeyed the command of the Lord. And also because he consulted a medium, a psychic, for guidance. That's why, guys, listen, it's vital that people are aware of the power of God available to them in Jesus Christ. People need to know there is salvation, healing, and deliverance available to them in Jesus' name. God promised Israel of old in Deuteronomy 11:22, if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love your God, the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. In other words, what you're up against is greater than you are. The enemy that we deal with in the spirit realm is greater than we are, but the greater one lives in us. And the greater one has already overcome him, and in his name we can overcome the enemy of our soul. We can drive him out of our lives, drive him out of our families, drive him out of our communities, drive him out of our nation. That's what we're praying. Lord, move, we pray again, upon America, Lord. We need a sovereign move of your spirit to awaken this nation, hallelujah, back to righteousness, amen, that there will be the gift of repentance, that people will understand that they need to turn to God for help and quit looking to these other sources, amen, that cannot help, that always make the problem worse. Anytime the devil does a favor for somebody, he makes it worse for them. And that's a deception, because they think, well, I got help by going to this witch doctor. But what they don't understand is that they're going to have a worse problem. Follow that. Because they just open their heart up and their life up to a demonic spirit. And so we're cautioned to give no place to the devil, to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Many people today are being shaken. Now hear it, because they trust more in their intellectual abilities than in the power of Christ. Many people are being shaken even in the church today because they're trusting more in their intellectual abilities than in the power of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. This is a New Living Translation. It is living by God's power. This is a gospel of dunamis, a gospel of power. All right? Acts 1:8, but you shall receive dunamis power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, once again, I want to close with this. How, then, do I receive this promise of God's power? Well, everything that we receive from God requires faith. It requires believing God's promise. We are children of promise today. Amen. We cannot earn it, but we can receive from God what we need by faith and what he's making freely available to us, a promise of his power, so that we can be victorious over sin, amen, and that we can represent him in this world as a witness. There needs to be more than words. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We put our faith in God's promise. In Acts 2:39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who were afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The second thing is very important as well. It connects with the first, because faith also is in fact being obedient to God. When you're obedient to God, it means that you're trusting his word and you're submitting yourself to his instruction. All right. So that means in Acts 5:32, They said, we are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Amen. What did He do? He said, wait, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't just run out ahead of me. You need a man to seek me. All right? And wait until you are endued with power. Amen? And God will give you supernatural ability. God will give you supernatural boldness. Amen? He'll take a shy individual and make them bold. Because you're relying not upon yourself, but upon the power of God. God wants His people to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And so it's so important that this message gets out to God's people, who some don't even realize what's available to them, because maybe they've never been told, or they've been told it's not for today, or in some cases they're even told it's of the devil. A third way you can receive this power is by laying on of hands. Prayer and the laying on of hands. How many here are spirit baptized today? Just show of hands. Amen. God wants everyone to be spirit baptized. He wants everyone to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we want to believe for that, we can get together in just a few moments. We'll come up here. If you want to be prayed for, we'll pray and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And we'll lay hands on you, just like we see the witness in Scripture, Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem, listen, heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They received the word of God. They were open and receptive, all right, to Jesus. They sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet He had fallen upon none of them. They were believers, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, there's a difference. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I would just like to be prayed for because, you know, I know I need more. I need more. Amen. And I'd like to have the brethren pray for me that God would fill me with more. Amen. How many know we can do that? We can pray. Amen. Lay hands. Believe God. And God's the one that does it. But we're simply the vessels that God works through. You and I are incapable of living out the life we're called to live apart from the power of God. We have to put our faith in the Lord. Amen. Who is the power of God. So if you're here today, and you say, you know what, I'd like to be prayed for today. And maybe there's other things. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus. You've been distant from the Lord. You need to make that decision today. Just come and recommit your life to the Lord. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. God is still giving people an opportunity to be saved today. Tomorrow is not promised. But I hope you understand the importance, the necessity for the power of God to be operational in our lives as God's representatives here in this world. People need to see the reality that Jesus is Lord. Come on. And that His power is greater than that of the enemy. Our young people need an encounter with God. Amen. That they will realize that God is the true God. Amen. He is the Most High God. He has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. Satan is a usurper. Satan will illegally use God's power for his own selfish gain or purposes. Amen. But we, as God's representatives, want to present Jesus to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And we do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why Jesus could say these words, I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. Amen. We want to be a kind of person, amen, that's filled with the power of God so that when we speak, it's life-giving. Can you say amen? It's not some dry discourse, theological discourse, amen, but it's pregnant with life. How many say I could use some more of the Lord in my life? If you're here today and you say I want to be prayed for, come on up. Who'll be the first?
I'll be the first.
I'll be the first. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody else. Judy, can I get you to play that?
Number one.
Come on up. Anybody else? You just say, I don't want to be prayed for today. I want to be prayed for today. Hallelujah. All right. Is that it? Really? Everybody's just good. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Don't miss out. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Be prepared. Amen.
Amen.
To meet the Lord. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised, is it? I'm just going to anoint everyone with oil. Come on, let's pray. You want to pray with us? Go ahead and pray with us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.